resort living every day. Head to mandalayliving.com.au. Make the move now and receive a $20,000 resort living bonus. Conditions apply. Visit mandalayliving.com.au.
Now, I want to talk references and being a referee for two reasons. One, I've had a friend recently, they're trying to go for a job, and they've asked if they can use me as a reference.
I've never been asked.
Well, I don't know how often you've been an employer. but no, Feb, this is the thing. My friend's asking me to lie because she's never worked for me.
Right.
But, so she just needs
don't
to.
Don't do it.
She just thought if I put your name on there, it might.
You'll
look,
get
and
in.
Can I pretend I worked for your radio show?
Oh, I wouldn't do it.
No. I said I can't do that.
The ombudsman will get you.
Exactly. When you're, you know, in the public eye and you get caught in one of those yucky lies, that would be weird. Yep. So I said, no, you'll be fine. You know, is there anything else I can
tell
do?
Tell her to put me down. I'll do it.
Well, that's just as bad. But I do remember. A year ago, I was asked by somebody who somebody contacted me from another company, possibly another radio station.
Nova.
And somebody that used to work with me a few years ago, they wanted a reference from me.
Right.
And I remember.
There'd be a few jobs going there in the next couple of years.
Mentioned the station. It may have even been Smooth FM.
But it's a tricky situation when you're asked to be a ref or give a reference for a character reference for someone, and you didn't think they were any good because your reputation's on the line. Because I was really, it was a conundrum. My reputation was on the line because the truth is they were let go by this radio station because they weren't very good at the job. So then for me to give a glowing reference and say, oh, they were fabulous and I can't recommend them highly enough. If they get the job, then they'll realise that they're no good and they'll go, he's got no idea about radio. Like, how could you think? But it's an awkward one. And I thought 131060, if anyone's got any tips, because this might happen to other people, when you're asked to be a reference or referee and you've got nothing nice to say about somebody.
Jeez, how do you get it? You can't get out of it.
What do you do? How do you get out of it? How maybe have you gotten out of it?
Don't ever give references to other radio shows that people go over boxy because we might end up there in a couple of years.
And then we'd end up with the staff that we were working with.
That were bloody hopeless.
We probably will.
Okay.
I see what you're saying.
131060.
Yeah, if anyone's got any tips, because this could be helpful for other people listening who are either looking for jobs or looking for references.
It's the same with rents and houses, Boxy. When you put down
that's exactly.
rentals and they go, oh, I'll give you a reference. And then they go in and they trash the place.
Exactly. And you with
point.
A reference.
Yeah.
It's no fun being a reference. Do you know what the lesson is? Mm. Just never be a boss. Never be an employer.
Just
you don't have to do
phone.
This.
131060 is the number. Call's already coming through.
I'd like to hear if someone has stitched someone up. Like, imagine saying they were rubbish, they were hopeless, don't employ them.
101.9 The Fox. The Fox.
So we're talking references, referees, when you're asked to be a character reference, and this can be for a job or for rental with a new landlord, through real estate agents, you often get asked to be referee, and you don't rate the person, and when you've got nothing necessarily positive to say, how do you handle those situations? And we'd love to hear the candor of if you've just front-footed it and said, I can't give you a reference. I'm sorry. I didn't think you were any good.
You were asked, weren't you? And you were not in a position to say they were any good.
No, I wasn't. But I'm not very good at this. And I'd love to learn some skill. I think we can all skill up in this situation.
We can all skill up.
So I've got Rachel from Clayton. Hey, Rach.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good. Rach, what do you do when you're asked to be a character reference and you just don't think you can be?
Just tell them you haven't known them long enough. That's what I did.
And then, Rach, do you worry, though?
It's that easy, Boxy.
Yeah, but do you worry that the person that put you down as a reference finds out that you've sort of popped them under the bus a bit?
Not really, because I got asked and I said to her, sorry, I didn't know you long enough. And this particular person got dismissed. So I really did not want to put my name to her resume.
I see. What's happened here, Rach, is you're just a really mature professional employer.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm more childish and want to handle something where I don't hurt people's feelings. And that's why Rach is at the top of her game. I like it.
Yeah.
It's just dealing with things effectively. Stacey in Keilor Park.
Good summary.
Really unpacked that.
Hey, Stacey.
Hey, guys.
Well, no, do you know what? Because I realise Rachel has just summed up in a nutshell what I'm trying to extrapolate and get great detail on. Stace, what's happened when you've been asked or you've asked someone to be
it
a referee?
It was a previous boss of mine. So one of the girls who used to work with all of us got caught doing illicit substances at work. Jeez. So I'm not going to disclose what we did.
What was she doing?
Okay. We'll imagine it's one of them.
Weekend activities, apparently, Feb. Yeah. Anyway, we got a phone call one day from another potential employee. She'd put my boss down as a reference but not told her. So that was a sort of a really interesting conversation. My boss just had to basically say, look, I'm not in a position where I want to give a reference, nor will I give a reference.
I reckon that's worse.
Yeah, but what do you say? You can't exactly tell that.
Depends what job she was going for.
What's the industry out of interest, Stace?
Hospitality. You wouldn't want her. Okay, you wouldn't want her to do the job. I wouldn't want that person to do the job.
She's driving a forklift.
What is it?
No, it's a. I can't even think of it. It's a trades and services industry.
Is it
trades and services?
More service
than trade.
Okay.
Apprenticeship. You can do an apprenticeship.
An apprenticeship.
Why is this so cryptic?
If you're paying top dollar, you wouldn't want an apprentice.
I think we've taken this somewhere it wasn't supposed
to go,
Stace.
Just say what the job is. Why is it so secretive? Stacey, what's the job?
What if they hear me on the radio?
Oh, okay, I see. We don't want to... The person might be listening.
Voice disguiser.
Right, okay.
Whatever.
Yeah. No, poor Stace.
Can you please tell us what
Stacey's
the job is?
Stacey's regretting ringing us
off
right
air.
Now.
No, Stacey, off air. And that's not her real name, and she's not in Keeler Park, but off air she might tell us that, and
exactly.
Then we won't tell her.
I wouldn't have said where she lived.
Now, I know.
She doesn't live there.
Keeler Park.
She doesn't live
there.
I thought you did say that.
You've just highlighted it. Taylor in Cranbourne. Hi, Taylor.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, Taylor. Taylor, what have you done when you haven't wanted to give a character reference?
Well, it's actually funny. So I was at work one day and I've been waiting for a phone call and all of a sudden my phone went off. So I answered a hello, Taylor speaking. And this lady's like, hi, I'm calling because this girl's put you down for a reference. And I said, sorry, you've got the wrong number. Like, I'm only 20. Like, surely this is like someone's put it down as a joke. She said, no, like this is legitimate. It's a nanny place. Like, how can I... can you answer a couple of questions? Said, yep, and who's the reference for? And she said, Anthea. I went to this girl, went to school with this girl 4 years ago, and she put me down on a reference, and I thought, maybe this is a mistake. And I said, sorry, like, I don't even know this girl all that well. She said, well, she put you down on the reference, and I said, oh, okay, that's fine. Like, let's go. Can I get the question? And then as I'm on the phone to this lady for, like, of a reference, I've messaged this girl and said, hey, like, what's the go? I've just got a reference from your nanny place. And she said, oh, my God, I was meant to put my manager's name down, whose name's Taylor, and I've put your number down instead.
You've done nothing wrong. Your friend's made an accident. But the lady who's employing the nanny quite happily accepted you saying, I don't know this person, and went for getting the reference.
And she didn't say, hi, is this Taylor, and said the surname.
Just checking your name's Taylor.
But the fact that you said, I don't know her very well, and then she said, that's fine, let's push on.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a guess what Stacey used
to do. Oh, we're back to Stacey.
Back to Stacey's job.
Yep. I'm fascinated. I reckon, we'll have a guess.
Okay.
I reckon they were school teachers.
Goods and services.
Services industry.
Services.
No.
If you were to be taking...
You'd say education.
Substances, you wouldn't want
education,
that at the job.
Like, teachers.
No.
Well, we're playing a game box.
It's all speculative.
I made my guess.
What'd you say?
I thought it was an industry that maybe we shouldn't talk about.
Which is?
Plumber.
No. Services.
101.9. The Fox. The Fox.
Let's just put it out there that Fev, for what we're all about to apologise for, extended members of the team, Fev wasn't really involved in this one.
Fev may be the only member of the team who actually knows me well. Now, at the moment, what we've discovered is pregnancy hormones make me really emotional. And I've cried a lot on the show this year. And the only time this happened was about 5 years ago when I was last pregnant.
Yep.
And Byron and I worked on a show together, and famously I interviewed Pink, Fev, and I just cried through the interview because I was so emotional about meeting Pink. But also, I was pregnant. Yeah. So to maximise this opportunity that you guys have, and, you know, we've got another 3 or 4 months of my pregnancy,
mm-hmm.
you've decided that you've said it's going to be a challenge to try to make me cry as much as you can.
Yep, and also taking your suggestions via our Instagram, the DMs, how should we try and make Thief cry? And we're getting a lot of different suggestions, so thanks. Keep those coming through.
Now, Boxy, Leon thought he'd take it upon himself to do this one, and he came to me with a suggestion, and I said, I don't think she's going to cry one bit. And he goes, no, it'll be really cute. And we're going to do, like, you know, it's great. Guide dogs are great. They do a great job. And if we have to do a credit for them, let's just read it out and pump up the guide dogs. But I don't think Fee's going to cry. No. Okay. She'll cry 100%, mate. Right. She'll cry.
So I was blindfolded. And when Fev's hands were removed, there were two gorgeous, adorable guide dogs in the studio.
Let's have a listen.
They've got little guide dogs.
Beautiful. How are you feeling about that?
They're bouncers, babies.
In my pen. They're beautiful. Yes, I'm overwhelmed. I haven't cried yet. That doesn't mean that I don't love guide dogs, and these are beautiful puppies.
Told you she wouldn't cry.
She's not crying, mate.
We have to try something next time.
Now, a couple of things I want to say about this. Not only you said you were, I think you thought they were puppies, two giant guide dogs.
They were adults,
studio.
So they were fully grown. And, that's not cute.
And secondly, you had about six members of Guide Dog Australia Association staring at me through the studio
window.
The
dog had an entourage.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on Fief to cry.
So
they were staring at you.
I've ended up looking heartless. What a heartless, cold woman who doesn't cry when she's confronted with guide dogs on such a wonderful cause.
And you are not heartless. You're a beautiful person. And you know, being forced to cry isn't really the spirit of crying, is it? You just sort of cry.
No. Like when I see Labradors, I like Labradors. I get excited. I don't cry.
And the good news, Fev, though.
What made you think I would cry
guide
in a Labrador?
Dogs, guide
Warren
dogs
said 80%.
I thought it was an 80%.
Chance.
If they were puppies.
Fev said no chance. And he...
One of those dogs was on the brink of retirement. I mean, it should be ready to move forward for its next phase of its career.
You've known me. You have known me for nearly 20 years.
Yeah.
Fev picked in like 30 seconds that I wouldn't cry.
Okay. We did raise a lot of money, though, and that's the great news. The goal that they set for themselves, they've achieved in 12 hours. $1.6 million has been raised.
Right, just for yesterday from being on our show.
Yeah, so...
advertising.
They do a wonderful thing, and we're so thrilled that we could have them on the show.
Okay.
So we made them $1.6 million.
Well, you know, it was a big part of the push, was that appearance on the show. And, I mean, imagine Fief cried, how much money they would have earned.
I know. Can you not attach a charity to me crying all the time?
Or,
really,
if anyone wants any endorsements, Fee and I are happy to take some.
101.9 The Fox.
I'm not sure you could make that song now, that one. Fee, Fev and Byron on The Fox.
Why is that?
Oh, it's a suggestion. He's dropping stuff into drinks without people
really
knowing. Well, a little bit of Medina in your...
What's Medina?
That's an
What's
old
Medina?
School.
Yeah, like
don't worry
Madiri.
About it. Have a listen next time. 14 to 8 on
Hang
The
on,
Fox.
I've been
well, you brought
funky.
It up.
Well, just have a listen in your own time.
I've been singing Funky Called Medina. I don't know what it means.
It's a little something that sort of...
Well, I'm Googling it now.
...clouds the judgment of... Look,
Byron,
I should never have brought it up.
Why would you bring it up?
In the modern...
I thought Medina was an apartment or
a
suite.
No, that's...
I thought it was an alcoholic drink.
Medina Suites.
Yeah, Medina Suites. Anyway...
I'm staying at the Adina.
Okay, good to...
Medina's a city in Saudi Arabia.
Okay, good to know all of that. But have a look in your own time. It is 14 minutes to 8 with Fifi, Fev and Byron on The Fox. Hey, we're living together. We're doing this all thanks to Mandalay, our very good friends at Mandalay Living. It's only 40 minutes from Melbourne. That's where we will be. It's resort living every day.
Hey, Boxy, do you remember when Byron told you to do it in your own time?
Yeah, I know.
It's a bit harsh, wasn't it?
Interesting. I was just busy Googling Medina.
Well, I'm just... You've just
blown the lid off a song that I quite comfortably sing to
Maybe
my child.
When we live together next week...
I play that song in the car.
Okay, well, you shouldn't be doing that. When we live together next week, we can run through the lyrics of Funky Cold Medina.
Well, we are. Now, we are living together. We're moving in together.
Mandalay.
I had friends say to me yesterday, are you really going to live with the boys? And yes, we are really going to live together. I mean, Fev's got a few hurdles to jump through before he signs off on his commitment to live with us.
Yeah. But I ticked this off with our old boss and he's not there anymore,
well,
so it's interesting.
Okay.
I know. What actually, a peek behind the curtain. So we're a few weeks into our new boss, and I like the way, Fev, you're playing this. The old boss said this.
Yeah.
Sorry, new boss, but the old boss told me I didn't have to.
Mandalay.
Anyway, so Mandalay, we can't wait to move in. I can't wait for a freak shake. We're all living together. You boys have signed off on me having the main bedroom with the ensuite and the walk-in.
Of course, room. Of course you should.
And you can have the second best room too.
Because you're not staying there. But do you know what? And it's an interesting thing because we're going to be flatmates. It will be flatmates.
Is there a pool?
Yeah, there's got everything. It's championship golf course there, pool.
There's a golf course. There's a restaurant. We can.
Does the restaurant have a buffet?
It's got freak shakes. I know it's got
freak shakes. Are there.
But here's the thing. We're going to live together for a night or two, and we're friends, and we're mature friends. Some of us are.
Imagine how many pranks are going to be going on.
No, I'm not the man. I'm just, here's the reality of what's going to happen. I'm going to lock myself in my room with my iPad and just watch Netflix.
But you're smart. You're pregnant. We can't really do much with you.
No, you can't. Just
I'm scared.
Could I just let everyone know I'm a bit worried about
this? Byron might be in a lot of trouble.
See,
I'm going to put fart gas on his bed.
Okay.
Now, we've all had flatmates before, I'm guessing, guys. But have you ever, and I'm asking this question, 131060, we would love to hear from people because I don't think this will happen in our scenario.
What are you talking about?
Have you ever hooked up with a housemate?
Why would you ask that question on the back of us being together?
Well, okay, let's separate from us. I'm bringing this up because Ali, or as Fev affectionately knows, our producer Lisa, I didn't even realise this. Ali, mother to beautiful, nearly 18-month-old Rose, being married to Digby, for how long?
Who? We've been together for five years.
We've been together for 5 years, and they were flatmates first.
Digby?
Just, yeah.
You don't even know her name, so you've got no chance of knowing her boyfriend's name.
No, I will remember Digby because I played with a footballer called Digby. Digby Morrell.
Digby's a great name. So, Ali, you just moved in together.
It's not that guy.
You didn't know each other. You just moved in together.
Yeah, so we just moved in together. It was maybe 3 months earlier. And we just got to know each other, and we were up.
And then you're 1 month late.
Anyway.
Pregnant. She had a baby.
You're insinuating that was after their first hookup, which I don't think it was.
It wasn't the first hookup, But it was during the Queensland floods because we were up in Brisbane and we had to stay in the apartment because it was too flooded. So we decided to drink some gin and play some board games.
What year was that, Lisa? Was that 2010?
Yeah. Yep.
That was boxy.
2013.
Yeah.
Oh, 13.
Can I ask you so many questions? Okay. Were you attracted to him from when you moved in?
No, I actually tried to set him up with my sister.
That's awkward.
Has he confessed that he was attracted to you from the get-go?
Yeah, so I find out later that he actually had a bit of a crush on me.
Look out.
Ali, I mean, that is a great sign because when you live with someone, and I've had male flatmates, and if anything, it's turned me right off them because when you see their habits and their toilet habits and their bathroom habits, you can go, oh, this person that might have been cute is now, So he obviously grew on you.
Well, yeah, I thought he was a great guy, hence why I tried to set him up with my sister. But I think I'm not going to lie, it was a bit of alcohol infused encouragement.
It always is.
Are you happy with your choice now?
Absolutely.
Good to know. There we go.
That's a great story.
Isn't it? That 131060, maybe you've got your own stories. And you know, they don't all have to be great. You can hook up with a housemate and it can go terribly wrong.
Well, who?
What?
Schnooksy.
You live with him, yep.
But you can have a hookup like Ali and Digby did. So that's a quiet night while the Queensland floods are on. They've got nothing better to do. And then you can wake up the next morning and go, what have I done?
You get to move out.
Is that what you thought?
That person.
Is that what you thought, Byron, with the barber?
With the barber?
It was his tailor.
Your tailor. Yeah, your tailor.
And my tailor never lived with me.
Doesn't he live there as well?
As nice of a guy as he is, we've never made love.
And the truth is, it's great to hear these wonderful stories like Ali's, but it is probably a lot of fun too to hear from stories about what went wrong after you hooked up.
Okay. Have you ever hooked up with a housemate though, Boxy?
No, I haven't. I definitely haven't.
Right. So it's a rule you said no?
No, I just haven't been attracted to them.
All right, there we go. 131060 is the number. Give us a call. No, you're not. Give us a call.
After
the break. 1019. The Fox.
We're moving in together, the three of us. We're living at Mandalay Resort Style Living next week. We can't wait. And Ali, our producer on the show, has ended up in a long-term relationship with a beautiful baby girl with her flatmate. They just lived together. They moved in. Didn't really know each other. And it all went well. Now, I keep saying I'd love to hear the stories where it doesn't go well. But Melbourne, you're just all loved up and you can't help it. Cause we've
it's like
got
a version of Big Brother.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And they never end up together.
No.
Now, Liz in Noble Park. Hey, Liz.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Liz. Did you get a bit loved up in your flat?
We did. We did. Alcohol-fueled night, just a bit like your producer about 7.5 years ago. Wow. And now we're engaged.
Oh, well done. And that's lovely. And, Liz, it was mutual. You've never had any, you know, fallout or it never went badly after you hooked up?
Never went badly. We moved house again. We bought a house together.
It's a shame. It's all fairly.
What was your choice of drink, Liz?
Oh, God. I think it was a few that night.
Thank you.
If it wasn't a funky cold Medina.
Well, no.
You know what that is.
Normally you go, consent is normally quite good in
Kelly
that situation.
In Killside. Hi, Kelly.
Oh, boxing.
Hi, guys.
Kelly. Oh,
save that stuff for an hour.
Did you hook up with a flatmate?
Yeah, yeah. I worked with a girl and she said, oh, we've got a spare room. Come and move in with me and my boyfriend.
Uh-oh.
And I did. And I never left, but she did.
So hang on. You stole your flatmate's boyfriend.
Oh, I didn't really steal him. I don't like to say it like that. I don't think they were going to work out anyway.
Oh.
So you did your friend a favour.
You manipulated the breakup.
I did. And, you know, we've been married for 20 years and Fev, we've got a daughter called Toby.
Oh,
do you? That's beautiful.
Wow. Yeah. There you go.
Kelly,
how do you spell it?
T-O-B-I, same.
So cute.
So cute.
There we go.
How old is she?
She's 15.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Good name. Yeah.
Did you ever consider Brenda as a name, Kelly?
101.9.
The Fox.
The Fox.
I want to talk about something, Fev, that may not be particularly PC and probably we shouldn't, I mean, put a spotlight on this, but it is happening. There are girls who date men for money. And one of those women, her name is, she's a London-based blogger called Anna Bay. She goes I think, the Instagram handle Jet Set Babe. She's landed herself a banker boyfriend.
Solid handle.
And she's giving tips. I mean, there's a market for everyone these days. And her market is she's giving tips to girls about how to land a rich guy. Now, I believe we've got some audio of her, Fev, in case you want to take some notes. This is
to land a rich guy.
Yeah, there we go. You never know. Okay, here we go.
I'm married to a rich woman.
Here we go.
Number one. Confidence. You don't want to have too much confidence because that can make you appear very masculine and you might scare people off. Number two, be elegant. Elegant women are a rarity. Elegance is not on top of people's minds. Now it's all about kind of looking casual and 90s. Number three, be feminine. Men are not really impressed by sexuality as much as they were maybe before when it was more restricted. Plus also, I feel like dressing sexy, it is so unoriginal. It really does not make a person stand out today.
I mean, obviously an annoying accent helps too, landing a guy.
Whoa.
How does that make you feel as a established woman?
Oh,
her speaking like that.
I think it's awful. I think it's horrible. I would like to think that if anything, personally, I'd aim women and girls towards tutorials about how to become a self-made woman and how to. But we're putting a spotlight on this because this is actually happening.
It does happen.
So her whole argument on her website, her blog, is you can be Kate or Megan. So she's saying, I'll turn you in to a Kate Middleton or a Meghan Markle. And, I mean, they've landed princes.
And we'll start at Kim Kardashian early days.
Yes. Oh, you mean doing sex tape?
I think that's her tip, but that is a way that has worked.
But, look, no, I think if I'm to speak from my heart and from where I'm coming from, I don't think women need a man. You don't need one. I think I'm a good argument
for
that.
Good
I don't have a man and I'm doing fine.
Proof's in the pudding.
But, you know, to each their own. And I'm not judging girls or women who are looking for men. We had a sugar baby in our studio about a month ago. And we were asking her how she goes about and why she dates older men. And she was quite blatant because I want handbags and I want expensive dinners and I want trips. And we thought we'd open the phone lines for girls to be really honest. Do you target wealthy men? How do you go about it? Do you maybe believe these tips?
Okay.
Is this a thing?
You what? Staggering, Boxy.
It'll be a safe place, though. They can call.
See, I don't think it is.
I just think it's, I don't know. I only because I work with you and you obviously you don't need a man. You're very successful.
I've only dated poor men.
Yeah,
really poor men.
You have, and I obviously am married to my beautiful wife, who she's self-made, got her own business. She doesn't need me. She did very well without me. I need her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my life.
No, but this is the.
I'd be lost without her.
I know. But the funny thing is,
strong women.
Yeah, strong women, and that's what we advocate. But the truth 100%. Is, there's a, and maybe it's a niche group, but there would be people out there that just want to secure money, and they're dating for money.
How many people are on our blog, Boxy?
Oh, man, you're asking lots of specifics.
I just find it fascinating that, I don't know.
She'd have traction.
Yeah, but think about it, Feb. Like, honestly, have a look at Instagram, because all I see in my feed are... You know that now people pay a fee to sit on a private plane to say, look at me sitting on a jet.
Right.
The affluent people,
Didn't Lil Wayne do that?
Yeah, Lil Wayne does it. But people are doing this. A lot of bikini models. Everybody's like, look at me. This is me on this, you know, tropical island, or this is me on a jet plane. I think
bloody sad.
There's a lot of this going on, I think a lot of pressure is on girls particularly to land money.
By the way, it wasn't Wayne. He can afford a jet. It was Mario.
No, it was Lil Wayne.
It was Lil Wayne. Wayne should be able to buy jets.
No, Lil Wayne.
Because remember, we're going to get him. He went down to the pub at Narre Warren.
This wasn't.
And
Wayne.
We're going to get him to go to Byron's place.
Bow Wow or someone. 13, 10, 60.
Bow Wow.
Give us a call if you're doing this, even though it might not be our cup of tea. 13, 10, 60. We understand it does happen. Call's already coming through, Fee.
101.9. The Fox.
We were talking about this vlogger. Blogger over in London, and she's teaching women, and it is abhorrent. And we just want to make it very clear, we don't agree with this in any way, shape or form. In actual fact, it's funny. I find this comedic. She's teaching women how to date rich men. And her three top tips are confidence. Well, everybody says that. Like, get a new line. Like, that's just 101. Everyone knows people are attracted to confident people. Two, be elegant. Well, easier said than done. I mean, I'm sitting here in a moo-moo. I don't know. Elegance not there. And the third one is be feminine. Well, that's just be a woman. These are terrible tips. Okay. We all agree. But we did ask the question, have you or do you
What's
target
a moo-moo?
A moo-moo? Oh, it's like this sort of dress. It's like really baggy. Very well, I am pregnant.
Loose fitting.
Yeah.
Loose fitting. I mean, I haven't worn anything. Oh, no, I did wear a tight
Some
skirt.
Some of you'd
wear
in Fiji on holiday.
Yeah, I'm resort style living through my pregnancy.
Just getting ready for Mandalay.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we did ask the question: does anyone genuinely do this and target rich men, or conversely, it applies to both genders? Are you a guy that targets rich women? Penny in Pakenham. Hey, Pen.
Hi guys, how are you going?
Yeah, good, Penny. Penny, is this something that you can relate to? And you don't, you know, be proud. It's okay. Do you go after men for money?
I specifically did one time when I was in university. I was doing that full time. I wasn't living at home. Obviously, you know, I had bills and everything to pay, and the opportunity came up, so I took it.
And so when you say an opportunity came up, you didn't go and hunt a rich man. You just met a man and he was quite rich. And
So I was out at the time, and you know how you can just sort of tell, like, an older man.
Yes.
So I approached him.
There we go.
Oh, wow.
She did target
and
him.
What did
so were you attracted to him at all?
Initially, no. Right. Once I got to know him, yes.
What did you, Penny, just to be really blatant about this, what did you get out of it? Did you get things? Money?
Not cash. Things paid for.
Handbags?
A lot of university things. No, not handbags, no, just more everyday items. You know,
everyday items.
So he sort of took care of you. You were like, you got to be a kept woman.
You were like Julia Roberts.
Well, that's
well,
she, that. She was
no.
She was
101.9 The Fox.
Love when this next bloke joins us on The Fox with Fifi, Feb and Byron. How much has he got going on? This is awesome, of course. You know him from Channel 10's Have You Been Paying Attention? ABC's Utopia. He won the Logie last year for Most Popular New Talent. Got plenty going on. And the new show, Cheat Days, part of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival from March 28th, Fifi. Tickets at comedy.com.au. This is Fifi, Feb and Byron.
Dil Ruck is in the studio.
Hello.
Dil, it's
Hello.
Great to see you.
Good to be back here. Oh. I think it was last year's Comedy Festival when I got to chat to the three of you, so it's nice to be back.
I know. We should actually make it more regular than that.
Oh, please. As contrary to Byron's explanation of what I'm up to, I'm very lonely and needy. So, especially at this time of the morning. So, anytime you need me, I'm here.
And you've come into the studio, and Fev, Dil is half the man he used to be. And
I said that.
You're losing weight. I'm putting on weight.
Yeah.
Left sounds like half in the car.
Fifi's had a few cheat days recently, by the way.
And how embarrassing, Dil, because in Cheat Days, your Melbourne International Comedy Festival show is a lot about your cheat days, and I've got in front of me. And I'm guessing today isn't a cheat day. Would you look at what I have in the morning?
Yeah, chockies and
Jaffers
are the best.
Chocolate coated licorice,
mate. You have this is the best thing about what the situation you're in. It's yours. Everything's a cheat day. You don't have to judge
exactly.
It. Just guilt free. Enjoy it.
I've got no excuse.
Please come in with me on the journey.
Yeah, but I thought we'd just do it together.
I want to talk because Dil, on your Instagram, you will when you have your cheat day. So talk everyone through the diet.
So what happened is basically, started last year, I had a bet with a friend of mine, Ben Lomas, another comedian, where we decided, both of us were like 120 kilos each, and we decided the first person to get under 100 kilos, double digits, which we hadn't done in years, since our 20s, I think, or 19 or something like that. The first person gets $1,000. So it became about this bet. So we had the bet on this podcast that we do called Fitbet as well, if you can check it out. And it goes into more detail in the podcast.
Or you can go to Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Sure.
My mess isn't there, but...
I have nothing to do with cheat day, but continue.
But yeah, so then once that kicked off, then it's been this... For me now, it's about trying to keep it off because it was easy to lose weight, but keeping it off has been an absolute nightmare. So what I found, the way the cheat day works, is if I give myself 6 days to focus on the diet, which for me is avoiding carbs and sugar. And the seventh day, I just go absolutely crazy because every diet failed because it felt like I was depriving myself of something. But with this diet, having that seventh day makes my brain go, oh, you just don't have to have it now. Just have it in a few more days.
Day do you choose for your seventh?
Usually Saturday, but occasionally Saturday becomes Sunday, Monday.
What I love about it too is most people think of a cheat day is when you go and get a hamburger or you have a packet of chips. You'll go to a restaurant and order 5 meals. Like, you'll go hard.
Yes. Okay. So I'll put this disclaimer out. The difference between what you see on Instagram and real life sometimes is that I don't finish everything. So what happens is I'll take a photo of all of it. But this is what's happened. Because now it's only one day that I get to treat myself. If it's not tasty, I just drop it. I'm like, sorry, this is not good enough. Get the next
calories.
On the menu. Well, because it's like, I'm like, I've only got limited for stomach space. I don't want to wait till next Saturday before I can try it again. So what I've been doing recently is there's a list of pasta places in Melbourne that I've been ticking off one by one. And I go in there. The rule is I get whatever their pappardelle is and whatever they consider is their signature. And the reaction on the waiters' faces are always fantastic. I was with your old mate, Dave Thornton, on the weekend in Adelaide. And literally, I ordered 2 pastas, and the waiter goes, "Is he serious?" I'm right here. Just ask me. All right.
This sounds like very similar to me, Boxy. Sounds like me every day.
Exactly.
I order food, and I'll be like, "Oh, I don't know what I want." So I literally order from, and Byron's been at my house, and I ordered like from 5 restaurants. On Uber Eats, just because I wanted to try everything. I don't eat it all.
Well, exactly.
And I wanted my guests to enjoy 5 different cuisines.
Yeah, why don't you try? Exactly. Uber Eats for me is it's people only think you can order from one restaurant. I get it from 4 at a time.
Did you hear, Dil, the other day we revealed on the show that Fev had a $35,000 Uber Eats bill?
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't realize I was in the presence of royalty.
1019. The Fox. Good mate, Dil Ruck, Jaya Sinha is here. Dil Show Cheat Days at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival from March 28th. Your tickets you get from comedy.com.au. We love it when he's in the studio,
Fee. And looking fine too.
Thank
is this
you,
wrong?
Mate.
Are you uncomfortable if I say this still? And I don't know in this climate.
Please, let's go. Too. Have a crack. Let's figure it out as we go.
He said no and he don't know what he's going to say.
I was going to say,
I'm keen
ladies,
here.
Great eye candy.
Oh,
I mean, you
right.
are looking amazing.
I'm so offended. I'm out of here. But I will also expand my Tinder radar to.
Hey, seriously, on Tinder,
Cranbourne, especially some kind of interesting voices I heard from Cranbourne. Yes, so.
Hey, on Tinder, yes, do mate. You? If I was you, I would post a photo of 12 months ago,
yeah,
and then meet up with them, and then when they rock up, they were like, "Whoa, he looks amazing! You look amazing!"
Maybe they were attracted
true,
to
true, but then yeah, true, could be, but also at the same time, I want to give myself a fair chance of, because to be honest, I had a comedy festival show that had me without a shirt in a pool when I was about 125 kilos with my boobs right out, right. And my Tinder, it was only that picture, and all it said was my passion is fitness and healthy living, and I got blocked by someone once. Offended them so much.
Now, we were just talking, Dylan, you're still stunned at Fev's $35,000.
Mate, I am. I'm
don't forget the 548 on the end.
Yeah, oh, okay, get the full total right of Fev's Uber Eats usage.
It's not on this sheet of paper. It just says $35,000.
I reckon it'll be up to nearly 36 by now.
So here are the stats, Dil. Yep. Fev is currently in the top 0.02% of Uber Eats users in Australia. That is that's 0.02. That's less than a percent. He's right up in that pointy end.
Yep. I mean, I'm looking. I did some maths myself here, and so it's roughly about $96 per night, per day that has been spent on Uber. You're keeping that enterprise up and about more than any other individual, I reckon.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
How much, Fev? We haven't covered this off because now Uber Eats have the tipping policy, Dil. I don't know if you've noticed this, but how much are you tipping on average too?
You don't need a tip when you spend that much on
it. Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, we could reel off the stats all day. We won't mention the 108 different restaurants that Fev has used.
It's all about expanding.
Yeah, mate, no.
You're keeping the economy alive.
Supporting the community. Yeah,
those drivers have got to deliver that food, so I'm putting food on the table
you're
for them too.
You're paying salaries.
Yes, I am.
Great show for Fev to get around is Dil's show Cheat Days, Melbourne International Comedy Festival from March 28th.
It's an everyday for me.
Comedy.com.au. We're out of here. Thanks for hanging
Thanks
out,
Dil.
Well done, Dil.
For resort living every day, head to mandalayliving.com.au. Make the move now and receive a $20,000 resort living bonus. Conditions apply. Visit mandalayliving.com.au.